Thank you, Jerry. And Jack, we will see you here tomorrow as the Blue Jays look for a second straight victory and a series win against the New York Yankees, a team against whom they are 4-13 this season. And again, the Blue Jays are the reason that the New York Yankees are where they are in the playoff race. It appears as though they will fall 3.5 games behind the Texas Rangers and Tampa Bay Rays for the wild cards in the American League, because Texas is up 6-1 on T-Bay going into the bottom of the eighth inning. But the Jays 4-13 against the Yankees this year, which means that when the Yankees don't play the Blue Jays, they're 66-68. And when the Blue Jays don't play the Yankees, they're 65-68. And that continues to be an amazing statistic, a half game different when they don't play each other. But the Blue Jays are way out of the race, and the Yankees right now are 3 games out of a playoff spot. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. We likely won't be able to get to John Gibbons' post-game comments while we're still on the network, so we'll hear him on our flagship station in the local hour of the Blue Jays Talk from 10 to 11 Eastern. Sportsnet 590, the Fan, sportsnet590.ca as well. And we'll probably get to hear from Mariano Rivera, who held court with the Toronto media prior to this game. But right now, your phone calls in the wake of a 2-0 Blue Jays win. We begin with Nick in Scarborough, who's listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Nick, you're the leadoff man. Welcome to the program.
Hey, long-time listener, third-time caller.
Third time, nicely done.
Just wondering, why are you so optimistic about the Blue Jays' chances next year?
Because I think that they've got a lot of talent, and that, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong for them this year, and I don't expect that to happen again.
But looking at around the AL, and especially the AL East, the rotation is like going into a 3-game set with Tampa Bay or Boston next year. You're looking at, Moore, Cobb, possibly Price, and PV, Lester, Buchholz, Drew Vaughn. I don't think they can improve their starting rotation that much this offseason to compete with that.
What would you have said at this point 12 months ago about the idea of facing John Lester and Clay Buchholz in a 3-game series?
For me, the knuckleball, what's the average ERA for
the knuckleball? That's not an answer to the question, Nick. The question was, 12 months ago, when John Lester and Clay Buchholz were having terrible seasons, what would you have said about facing them and facing Boston, the team that finished last year in last place in the American League East?
Well, yeah, but they went over, a major overhaul.
No, they didn't. They didn't. They brought in Shane Victorino. They brought in Mike Napoli. They brought in Johnny Gomes. They got rid of Daisuke Matsuzaka. They didn't have a major overhaul.
Well, mid-season they got rid of Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Beckett.
Yeah, they did that mid-season last year. That's true, and that made them finish a lot worse than they probably otherwise would have had they not made those moves, though. Beckett and Crawford.
So you think a major move then, overhaul would?
I think that teams have bad years and players have bad years and guys get hurt. And that's kind of what happened last year with the Boston Red Sox, and it's kind of what's happened this year with the Blue Jays. I'm not saying that they're going to go from worst to first next year like the Red Sox did, but I'm saying that this is a team that has certainly not played to its talent level, and that it doesn't need that much to have a very good year next year.
If you look at their career ERAs for their starting rotation,
yeah,
it's not that good.
Well, we don't even know what the starting rotation is going to be.
Burley's,
I don't think you can
there.
Count
Dickie's
on the Blue Jays coming back next season with Jay Happ, Todd Redman, and Esmiel Rogers in the starting rotation. If that happens, then Alex Anthopoulos has failed. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think it needs a lot of work from Alex to improve on that, to be honest with you. And looking at R.A. Dickey's career ERA also is a kind of a slightly intellectually dishonest, I would think, because once he became a knuckleball, none of that other stuff counts. the first 9 years or whatever prior to him becoming a knuckleballer don't matter. What matters is the last 4 years, and his ERA is significantly better.
That's true. I mean, the only problem I have in the knuckleball is, you know, if the count is 2-1 or 3-1,
yeah,
you got other aces in the major leagues that can throw, you know, pretty much a strike that's, you know, unhittable. But Dickey, you can't predict the knuckleball. So, you know, if it's doing what it's supposed to do, he might not throw a strike in that situation, and then
right, and
get
he might
behind.
But he might get a swing and miss. But I don't think there's anybody in the major leagues that has a 3-1 strike that's unhittable. I don't think you need to worry about that. I will wager that Justin Verlander got hit in 3-1 counts a whole lot last season. Look, I understand it's tough to be optimistic given what's going on and what's gone on, but it really, you know, it's not that hard to take a step back and look at what's really gone on this year and how outside the normal so many performances have been and how injuries have derailed the team and how their simple inability to beat the New York Yankees has really destroyed them. And I don't expect any of that stuff to happen next year, and I expect this team to be a little bit better. And by getting a little bit better, if everybody else gets back to who they are, they'll be just fine. Peter in St. Catharines, you're next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Mike, wouldn't it be just lovely for the Blue Jays to knock out the Yankees, Baltimore, and Tampa Bay right out of the wild card race?
It would be. It's a lot to expect.
Yeah.
It's a lot to hope for. And no matter what happens, I don't think the Blue Jays can eliminate the Yankees, even if they sweep them.
Right.
But it would be very, very nice for the Blue Jays to really put a crimp in all those teams' playoff plans.
And
but without Edwin, and
yeah,
you know, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Well, the other caller there kind of stole my thunder there with the starting pitching there, because so I'll just go in a different direction. Where do you see Anthony Gose and Ryan? Would you say right now Ryan Goins is the leading candidate for second base next year?
Among the in-house players, I would say yes.
Yeah, and
but
Anthony,
I think they're going to try to go out and try to find somebody else.
Mm-hmm. But he's not as a fallback, I would hope, right?
He can certainly play the position. Can he hit? Maybe not. But he can certainly play the position, and if you're strong enough, the other 8 spots in the lineup, you can afford to have him batting 9th with that glove.
And I want to ask about either Anthony Gose and Rajay Davison, where their places are next year, if anywhere.
Rajay Davis's place is probably somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He's a free agent, and
yeah.
I do think that someone out there will offer him a full-time job, and he'll go. And Anthony Gose, I would hope he starts next season in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
You have Melky Cabrera coming back and Colby Rasmus and Jose Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have Gose as your everyday center fielder, I would think that you would not want a 23-year-old on the bench as a fourth outfielder, and he would be playing every day in AAA. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate the call. We have John Gibbons. So let's listen to John Gibbons. Here's what the Blue Jays skipper had to say in the wake of today's 2-0 win over the Yankees.
Gibby, I know you've said when RA's on the mound, it's a lot of you judging him by feel, you know, to see whether he has it or not. After those first 2 innings, 51 pitches, were you a little concerned you weren't going to get a lot out of him tonight?
Well, that first one, I don't know, close to probably 30. Yeah, it was a battle, but then it just kicked in. I mean, I think he was throwing it harder tonight than we've seen. That's probably the best we've seen him this year, I think. He was chucking up a lot of pitches. He didn't know how long it was going to last, but then he settled in. Whatever kicked in, you know.
John, you said that was the best you've seen Dickey. What in particular made it so special?
Well, I mean, I think his knuckleball was a little bit harder tonight. Even Tolley made some comments on that, and, you know, that's kind of who he was last year. You know, he had a lot of strikeouts. I don't know how many he finished with, but, I mean, he was the thing was lively, so. And he's had some good outings for us. But some, you know, that just stood out tonight. I thought it was crisper, if that's a word. More crisp? What is it, Richard? Crisper?
John, we talked a lot about this early in the year and even midway through. But now that you've had a full season, have you noticed a big difference between
Dickie's knuckleball when the roof is closed compared to when it's open?
I don't know, but, you know, it doesn't matter because he's going to pitch a lot of games outdoors, you know. And when the weather's real nice at home, it's probably going to be open. That's hard to say. You know, I don't know what the numbers, how the numbers bear out on that, but, you know, I've seen him real good with it closed, and I mean, he's got hit around sometimes with it closed, you know, and, you know, he's been good down in Tampa where it's always closed. Who knows? Who cares?
John, could you, based on his performance of late, the last maybe even couple months, can you draw a correlation between how he is finishing this year and maybe what could carry over into next season to get him off on a better foot?
Yeah, I mean, he's finishing strong. I mean, he was on a nice little roll. You know, we lifted him after that last game. But he was on a nice little roll. And I mean, he's going to give up some runs. He's going to give up some home runs. That's part of it. So you're going to have to score with him. But, you know, but when he's on, he can dominate you like he did tonight. So
he certainly did tonight. R.A. Dickey, 7 innings, a 4-hit shutout, 8 strikeouts, and he has a winning record as a Blue Jay for the first time. He is 13-12. We'll come back and wrap up the network portion. The Blue Jays blank the Yanks. It is the Honda Postgame Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 2-0, and on the playoff watch, the Texas Rangers are leading Tampa Bay 7-1 in the top of the ninth, so it looks like the Yankees will fall to 3.5 games out of a playoff spot. Baltimore, 2.5 out right now, tied 2-2 with the Red Sox in the bottom of the eighth. The Indians trail the Royals 3-1 in the top of the sixth, but they have the bases loaded. Tomorrow we're back at 7, Jays and Yanks, Jay Happ against Phil Hughes. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Frank Head, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.
Base swings and he misses. Dickey just struck out the side. So R.A. might have a pretty high pitch count, and he does. That's another strikeout. That's 65 pitches, but he's not allowed to run, bottom line, through 3 innings.
65 pitches through 3 innings, and he struck out the side there, Cano, Soriano, and Overbay. And then R.A. Dickey threw 4 pitches in the top of the fourth and faced the minimum the rest of the way. He wound up going 7, picks up his 13th win against 12 losses. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 2-0. The final score, the Blue Jays trying to knock the Yankees farther back in that playoff race, and it looks as though they will. They're in the bottom of the ninth in Tampa Bay right now, and barring a miracle, the Texas Rangers are going to beat the Rays. Rangers are on top 7-1 in the bottom of the ninth, and what that means is that Texas and Tampa will once again be tied for the 2 wild card spots. The Yankees will fall 3.5 games out. The Cleveland Indians are going to the bottom of the 6th inning in Kansas City, trailing the Royals 3-1. Ryan Rayburn just struck out with the bases loaded for the Tribe. If Cleveland loses, they will fall 1.5 games back of the wild card spot. Baltimore and Boston are tied 2-2. In the bottom of the eighth, the Orioles need a win to remain 2 games back of that wild card spot. It is getting very, very interesting in the American League. Unfortunately, all the Blue Jays can do is try to wreck things for other teams, as they now have 12 games left in the season, and 8 of them are against the Yankees, Orioles, and Rays. I'm Mike Wilner. It's the Blue Jays Talk, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We're here on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on sportsnet590.ca, until 11 o'clock, taking your calls. Those of you who were on hold but hung up when I signed off the network, you'd think 150 games in, you'd have it by now. We are going to go until 11 on our local station, so call back because we're still here, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. 866-550-0590. Dan in Orangeville. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Yeah, Mike.
Hello.
All this playoff talk and excitement, it got me thinking, when's the last time us Blue Jay fans were excited in September? Can you remember?
It was a few years ago.
When would it have been?
I want to say 07 or 08. There was a year where the Blue Jays won 10 games in a row, and it started like right at the end of August.
Right.
And they went into a series in Boston in the middle of September
that
had they won that series,
they
would have been directly in the thick of things the last 2 weeks of the season. That's the last time it's been exciting in September. The time before that was 1993.
So 2008, and before that was 93?
Don't quote me on 08. It might have been 06, 07, one of those years. But,
right.
Yeah, only once.
It's too bad, really, because it'd be a lot of fun. I mean, I think there was a lot of excitement this year. You can imagine the excitement would be in Toronto if we were involved in a playoff race right now.
It would be something else.
You'd have 45,000 in attendance tonight rather than 25, that's for sure. The one thing I don't quite understand is, you know, and I got nothing against John Gibbons, but after the season we've had, I was a little puzzled that Anthopoulos would have come out a month ago and sort of given the vote of confidence for next year. And not to really blame the guy, but it puzzled me. I mean, it's not like the team played fundamentally great baseball this year. It just puzzled me.
If you're not blaming him and you don't think there's anything wrong with him, then why would you not expect him?
I'm not blaming him. I didn't say I don't think there's anything wrong with him.
Okay.
I mean,
well, what do you think is wrong with him?
With Francona, and when the Indians hired him, everybody said, well, it's not going to make a difference. I mean, you know, who have the Cleveland Indians got? But, you know, whatever it is, I mean, they're involved in a playoff race.
It's the players. That's what it is.
Well, but didn't we have the players this year?
Yeah, but they didn't perform, and the Indians players who aren't as good have performed. So, kudos to them.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just after the year we had, I mean, did Gibbons earn being rehired back next year?
I don't think he's done anything wrong.
But did he earn being rehired back next year with the year we've had? I mean, for that
matter, it depends,
we've gotten progressively worse.
It depends on what you feel earning your way back means. If you feel like, and you know, there are lots of different ways to say that. If you think that John Gibbons should be able to make his players play better and to keep some key players healthy, or to make the guys who step in for, you know, like Joe Girardi's getting a lot of credit for keeping the Yankees in it despite the fact that they've had all their injuries.
Right.
But has Joe Girardi really done anything to keep the Yankees in it? I've seen him make huge tactical mistakes in the 17 games the Blue Jays have played with the Yankees this season. I've not seen John Gibbons make any huge tactical mistakes in the 150 games I've seen him manage for the Blue Jays this season. Like, there's maybe one thing I can think of, why'd he do that? And that's, for me anyway, that's pretty impressive. But I believe that there's a very finite number of things that a manager can do to help his team win. There are a lot of things a manager can do to help his team lose, but there aren't a lot of things that a manager can do to help his team win.
Well, at what point on this sort of declining curve do we have to make some organizational changes? I mean,
are they really on a declining curve, though?
Well, I mean, is this not going to be the third year in a row like we've lost more games than the previous year?
They may not lose more games than the previous year.
Well, they may, though.
Yeah, they may.
What I'm saying is 3 years in a row of declining. I mean,
You're saying 3 years in a row of declining.
Right.
Therefore, you're assuming that they will lose more games.
This year, yeah.
They have 12 games to go.
I mean, it's going to be close.
Right?
But
if they go 5-7
right.
in those 12 games,
right.
they will finish with a better record than they had last year.
And they go 4-8?
They will finish with the same record that they had last year.
Okay, so I'm not going to be.
But we don't operate in a vacuum here, right? The 3 years prior to this one,
right.
and everyone who, you know, and I don't know who is writing or which of the on-air people is talking about every year being worse than the last one, but there's got to be somebody because I got a lot of callers who are parroting that line to me. You have to realize what the last 3 years were, and which makes it worse this year, I would think. But in the last 3 years, they weren't supposed to be any good. So it doesn't really matter that you know, 1 year they won 81 games, and 1 year they won 69 games or 73 games or whatever it was. What matters is that, you know, the 3 years prior to this one were spent hoarding draft picks, building the farm system, and trying to get the beneath-the-surface stuff better without really worrying about what's been going on at the major league level. This year was the first year that the Blue Jays were supposed to win, and obviously they have not.
Well, the one thing I will say is 3 years ago, like you take Baltimore, for instance. I think didn't 3 years ago we won, like, I don't know, we beat Baltimore like three-quarters of the games we played them or something. Like,
it might have been more than that even.
Or something, yeah. We had some, yeah. And then like Baltimore was in line, and they looked terrible. And, you know, like, look where they are now, and look where we are now. And, like, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Tampa Bay, everybody said, they're 1 year wonder. But, you know, they've been in it every year. I mean, I guess my point is, I guess I'm a frustrated Blue Jay fan.
You have every right to be a frustrated Blue Jay fan.
I'm just trying to.
This has been an incredibly frustrating
year. I want to be in a playoff hunt. I want to get excited.
Me too.
You know? So, I mean, I guess I'm just frustrated. But anyway, you do a good job. I like your play-by-play.
Thank you.
And do a great job. And, I don't know. Let's hope next year we have some more luck or things go break the right way for us. I mean, I'm just frustrated, I guess, like a lot of Blue Jay fans.
Hey, there's no reason not to be. It has been an exceedingly frustrating year, and I'm glad you recognize how much of your frustration is talking here. But, yeah, again, no, you have every right. Everybody listening has every right to be frustrated. Mark in Oakville. Mark, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you very much, and I can appreciate his frustration, but I think I'm pretty much on the opposite side. You know, I think it's a three-year plan that everybody's been talking about. You see what you have. You know, whether you're three games out in a Yankee role or, you know, the amount of games that were out, I don't think it really matters. I mean, I think you have to get to the playoffs. I think they have the right pieces in place. Everybody's had their, I think it's pretty obvious, the positions that they need to improve on. And, you know, let's see what happens over the next couple of years. You know, you can always look back and be frustrated of what's going on, but, you know, championship teams are not made up in 1 year. And, I think that's my thoughts on that. I don't know if you agree with that or if the other Jays fans do, but, you know, I think they're on the right path. You know, you look at Dickie, he's got 13 wins. I know it's 12 losses, and we talk about knuckleballs inside, outside, in terms of indoor, outdoor, but he's still got 13 wins. So I think there's some value in the team, and I think we're in a decent position moving forward when you look at the rest of the AL East for the next 3 years. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
I don't, you know, really want to look at the rest of the AL East because so many things can change so dramatically. I mean, remember this winter how people were talking about, oh, the Red Sox are done, the Yankees are on the decline, the AL East is wide open, and the Red Sox are going to win the division maybe even by double digits. So, you know, looking at that stuff doesn't do it for me. To be honest with you, I think what you got to do is look at what you have and how good you have the potential of being. And we all saw it with the Blue Jays this winter. As much as the frustrated fans would like to say, oh, it was a snow job by the media, nothing could be further from the truth. This was a very good, very talented team that simply did not play well at all for the most part this season. Now they're beat up and whatever, but they were two games out of a playoff spot after that 10-game win streak, and then they went directly into the tank for a while when they were, at the time, still reasonably healthy. So this team did not perform, period. But you're right, Mark, that it's 1 year, and it's not a referendum on who the people they brought over were and what the talent level is, because all you got to do is look at it without the angry glasses on to see that this is a very talented team. But I don't know about the whole, you know, they never work out in the first year thing, because I remember the 1993 Blue Jays who broke camp with like 13 different players than were on the 92 team. So they changed over more than half the roster, and they won the World Series again. So it can happen. It's not a guarantee that it's going to take time for people to figure each other out. And honestly, I have no idea how that applies in baseball. But But it doesn't always happen that way.
Oh, no, I agree with you 100%. But, again, 93, right? I mean, you're talking once in the last, you know, 25-plus years type thing. So,
well, when the Blue Jays. Yeah. You know, I don't know what the roster turnover for all the other champions were in the 20 years since then.
Sure. But, you know, I think I'm just thinking more on the positive side. I think there's a good foundation. I think people are overstating the, you know, the lack of starting pitching. I think starting pitching is something everybody lacks from year to year. And obviously a lot of injuries happen, you know, early on in the year. So I think they're, I don't think they're that far off. I think that's just really my bottom line here is that, you know, they're almost there in terms of being a contender for wild card and playoffs and so forth.
Well, they got to do it on the field. That's what it comes down to, and that's what they haven't been doing so far this year. Mark, appreciate the call. Thanks very much to that last caller asking about when the last time the Blue Jays were involved in a race of some sort. And it was somebody on Twitter said it was 1998. No, that was the Tim Johnson year. That was a good team. But in 2008, the Blue Jays won 10 in a row. Yeah, and that included a sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays. Again, it was 2008. And they won 11 of 12 and then went to Boston. And it was the middle of September. Had they been successful there in Boston, then things would have gotten very, very interesting. Because at the time, the Blue Jays, well, they were 6.5 games behind the Red Sox going into that series. And it was 4 games in Boston. Had they swept the Red Sox, that's what we were getting all excited about. If they sweep the Red Sox, they're 2.5 games back going into the last couple of weeks of the season. Instead, they went into Boston, they lost 3 of 4, and that was pretty much that. But that was the last time we were excited, 5 years ago. Before that, the last time was 15 years before, in 1993. Blue Jays blank the Yankees 2-0. We continue to take your phone calls here on the Blue Jays Talk. Andrew Nye's got a sports update coming up, and then we'll have more of you. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jay belts one deep left field. Could be another one. Yes, sir. There she goes into that second deck. Home run, Rajay Davis, number 6. Sean Kelly rudely greeted, and the Blue Jays lead the Yankees now 2-0.
And that would be your final score. Rajay Davis and Colby Rasmus going deep, and the Blue Jays beat the Yankees 2-0. R.A. Dickey, 7 strong. Sergio Santos and the birthday boy, Casey Jansen, with 1 each. Blue Jays get a win and are mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. Not that they were ever going to get back into it. But the Texas Rangers beat the Tampa Bay Rays 7-1 tonight, which means that the Blue Jays are 14 games out. Pardon me. 13 games out with 12 games to play. So they are done. As far as the actual playoff race is concerned, with that Texas win, Tampa and Texas are now tied for the final wild card in the American League. The Cleveland Indians are trailing the Kansas City Royals 3-1 in the top of the 7th. Cleveland loses. They are a game and a half out. The Baltimore Orioles beat the Red Sox 3-2. So Baltimore remains 2 games out. Kansas City will remain 2.5 games out if they hold on to beat the Tribe. The Yankees fall to 3.5 games out in the race. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Taking your phone calls, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Steve is in Richmond Hill. Steve, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks for taking my call. I just want to go back, I guess, to bring you back, and I know you've been fighting the argument all year about Gibbons, and I'm a fan of Gibbons. I liked him before. I even like him now. But I know you're saying he hasn't done anything specific to lose games or to to that caused this obviously poor season that the Jays have had. But the flip side is he hasn't done anything to help them win. And I know what you're going to say, and yourself along with Bob McCowan have the same sort of philosophy on baseball managing. But the truth is, any team, organization, in any sport, the success starts from the top down. And I just don't think Gibbons has that winning attitude, his aura about him. He seems like a good guy. He knows the fundamentals of baseball. But in the clubhouse, guys feed off a manager. And you could say what you want, but there's many teams in Major League Baseball right now with half of the Toronto roster. And I know people are going to say injuries, but that's a part of every sport. You have to deal with the injuries. And some have more than others. But successful teams, successful managers manage through that.
That's not true, Steve. You know that's not true, right? Just making sure that you understand that successful teams, and I don't want to use the injury crutch, but the truth of the matter is successful teams generally are the teams that stay the healthiest.
100%. Okay. I completely agree with you. But there are many teams that have to deal with injuries. It's part of the game. And you say you don't want to use the crutch, but everyone is using that injury crutch.
Well, because it's the truth, too. But the truth is that the players didn't perform. But what I'd like to know from you, Steve, I mean, I understand that, you know, you're talking like you've been in the clubhouse, and I understand that that's not the case, that all you're getting in this to form your opinion is the stuff you see on TV and stuff you hear on the radio. But what do you, like, you say John Gibbons hasn't done enough to help the team win. That's a statement that you can throw out there and say it like you believe it to be true, but what do you have to back that up? Like, what have you seen? What has he done that you're aware of that's not enough to help this team win?
I'll tell you. It's being last place. So, but that means a lot. You laugh
no,
at
it,
that.
No, that's ridiculous. But it's ridiculous. Therefore, you're saying that the entirety of this season rests on the manager.
No, 100% it doesn't.
That they're in last place because John Gibbons hasn't done enough to get them to win.
Well,
that's what you just said.
Well, I put blame in the players. I put blame in the GM for not having, I think, enough of a fundamental baseball team. But I also put blame in Gibbons. So I want to ask you, do you put any blame in Gibbons having them in last place in their division? Do you put any blame in him having that?
A tiny little bit, sure. Why not? I mean, he doesn't have no effect on them, but he certainly doesn't have that kind of effect. I mean, the fact that they're in last... I honestly believe that the fact that the Blue Jays are in last place right now has nothing to do with John Gibbons.
So I want to then ask you, if Lasorda or... You can pick your line of managers over the last 20 years.
Sure. Can we pick Lasorda?
Sure.
Because there's, you know, Tommy Lasorda, and he's an example that I bring up all the time. Tommy Lasorda is seen as this wonderful motivator and manager and the big Dodger in the sky and all that stuff, right? Tommy Lasorda won the World's... Tommy Lasorda's Los Angeles Dodgers won the World Series in 1988. A year they had absolutely no business being anywhere near a playoff race, never mind winning a World Series, right? And that was seen as this great motivational job. What a fantastic manager Tommy Lasorda was. You still with me?
Yep.
The year before that, with basically the same crew, no Kirk Gibson, Tommy Lasorda's Los Angeles Dodgers were 17 games under 500, 16 games under 500. The year after that, with Kirk Gibson, with basically the same crew that had won the World Series the year before due to the tremendous motivational managing of the great Tommy Lasorda, the Dodgers finished 77-83. So was he not doing it in 1987 and 1989 and only doing it in 1988?
No, but you also have to look at players who had peak seasons at the right, Oral Hershiser's, guys, and obviously Kirk Gibson, which was a huge part in that World Series.
But you're saying that it's Tommy Lasorda's fault that Oral Hershiser had the big season in 1988. Because obviously he did something that John Gibbons wasn't able to do with R.A. Dickey this year.
I hear your point, and you can nitpick.
I'm not nitpicking. This is the crux of your argument.
But my argument is, how can I as a fan, or how can I as an owner, and not just taking the Blue Jays, any organization, company, team, how can you, when you put all the proper tools in place, not look at, and I'm talking everybody, but specifically the leader in that clubhouse.
Well, I think you can
not put blame on his shoulders to say you're last place.
I don't think you do that in a vacuum. I don't think you just look at it and say this team is in last place, therefore the manager's not done his job. I think you go, this team is in last place, therefore let's take a look at what everybody's doing. Has the manager not done his job? Oh, okay, well, the manager...
What has he done?
What has he done?
What has he done?
He's consistently...
What hasn't he done?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Because I can actually tell you things as opposed to just saying they're in last place, therefore he hasn't done a good job. And he's consistently made the right moves on the field, put smart lineups together, made good choices out of the bullpen, used his players in the spots where they can help the most of the time. That's all a manager can do.
And they're last place.
Right. The San Francisco Giants are half a game out of last place in the National League West. Bruce Bochy has been their manager and won the World Series 2 out of the last 3 years with the San Francisco Giants. But the San Francisco Giants are half a game out of last place right now. So was Bruce Bochy brilliant 2 of the last 3 years and now should be fired because his team's in last place? Is it his fault?
Because he's brought success there. He has a winning record and he's brought success. So, of course, you're not going to fire him. But
okay, Gibbons won one more game in his first tour of duty with the Blue Jays, he would have had a winning record.
Well, right, but he didn't. So, and I keep on going back to what has he done. So you say he hasn't done anything to get him fired. I say, what has he done to keep his job?
I just told you. I just gave you an actual list of facts, Steve, and you have given me nothing. I appreciate the call.
But they're still last place.
Yes, they're still in last place.
Well,
yes.
Yes, he hasn't done the right things.
No.
You could,
because, Steve, again, we got to go. This is getting silly now. To say they're in last place, therefore the manager is doing a bad job, is so myopic and shows such little thought. It's just too easy. You think about it and you say, they're in last place, what's gone wrong? Not, they're in last place, therefore the manager stinks. And when you actually look critically at what the manager has done, you look and you say, oh, well, he's done a pretty good job. It's not his fault they're in last place. What's another reason they're in last place? Because if you just look at it and say, okay, the manager hasn't done his job, they're in last place, he's got to go, you change the manager, you haven't really fixed the problem. Because the manager's not the problem. Sometimes the manager is. That's why you look at everything instead of just making blanket statements with nothing behind them. Alan in Toronto, you're next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Kobe's homer was the first given up by Andy since July 1st with a lefty against Andy since July the 30th, and he's been very stingy against lefties since that time, so hats off to him.
Yeah, that was a heck of a home run, too, boy.
Yeah, was it ever. Yeah. Robinson Cano, he seems to be hurting because... when Soriano hit that ball, that scorching liner down the line, and it tipped the stool where the police officer usually hits,
yep.
I think Gardner or Granderson would have scored easily.
You know what I'll tell you, Alan? Anyone who was actually running hard would have scored easily. And from what I'm hearing, this is not a new thing that Robinson Cano doesn't run balls out and doesn't, you know, hustle on the bases all the time. So I don't know that he's hurting. He looked like he grabbed his wrist or his hand on a swing and miss. in the first inning, but that didn't indicate anything wrong with his legs. If he was running hard, and he wasn't, he was taking it nice and easy, he would have scored on that play, which is not what you want to see on a team that's two games out of a playoff spot.
No, no. I'd like to talk about Roger Davis, not his hitting or his fielding, strictly as a base burglar when he's on the base pass. I know what the pitchers are calling him, and with good reason, too. They're calling him a pest and a thorn in the side. Do you think when he's on the base pass that he's every bit the base stealing threat that, let's say, someone like Ricky Henderson or Tim Raines or Vince Coleman were? I'm talking about strictly as a base runner. I think that he's every bit the threat that those guys are when they were on the base pass, too.
I don't think he's gotten there yet. I mean, those guys had, like, years where they attempted 150 to 180 stolen bases, and well, maybe not 180, but 150 stolen bases, and he's not there where every time he's on, he's going to go. You know, if he would have a better on base percentage like a Ricky Henderson or a Tim Raines, then we'd see him those numbers be higher in stolen bases. But I still don't think he'd get to that level of attempt, and maybe it's just because of the way the game has changed. But Vince Coleman didn't get on base as much as Rajay's been getting on base, and he had way more stolen bases. So I think he's more of a threat than they were to actually be successful in stealing a base. But he's not like those guys, just in a matter of a manner of sheer volume of attempts.
And why is third base not stolen more regularly? I'd like to see third base stolen base even with two out, because when you're on third base, you have a chance to score on a pass ball or a wild pitch. So
yeah, but the risk reward is not. You have to do a cost benefit analysis there, Alan. And when you're on second base and you're Rajay Davis or a guy who's a very successful base dealer, a speedy guy, chances are really good you're going to score on a single with two out, especially off the crack of the bat and stuff. And those chances are more than the chances of somebody throwing a wild pitch or having a pass ball happen with you being on third relative to the risk of you getting thrown out trying to steal third base. You're already in scoring position at second, and with two out, you need a hit. It's not like a fly ball will be able to score you with two out. So it's all in cost benefit. And the risks generally outweigh the rewards of trying to steal third with two out.
Who has a greater advantage? I think the runner has a greater advantage as opposed to the catcher, because the runner
sure
can get a better
absolutely lead. But the base really doesn't matter. Only the odds of a wild pitch or a pass ball are close to infinitesimal. And so to risk getting thrown out and ending an inning at third base when you're already in scoring position really kind of seems to be terribly counterintuitive.
I think Davis is in the same categories that Michael Bourne or Elvis Andrews.
Serious. And those guys don't steal third with two out either. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate the call. Rajay Davis this year, by the way, 41 stolen bases in 46 attempts, which is an 89.1% success rate. The highest career success rate for stolen base percentage is Chase Utley, with at least 3,000 plate appearances. 88.4%. So Rajay stealing at a better rate than the all-time leader has done it this year. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We continue to take your calls. It is the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Two-pitch belted deep right field. Yes, sir. The Blue Jays are in flight as Rasmus has just hit his 21st.
That was all the Blue Jays needed. A second deck homer in the fourth inning. Colby Rasmus with his third home run in three games since coming off the disabled list. Blue Jays wind up beating the New York Yankees 2-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. And just to update you, they are now going to the bottom of the seventh in Kansas City, and the Cleveland Indians have tied things up 3-3 with the Royals. Michael Bourne with an RBI triple, Nick Swisher with a sacrifice fly. The Texas Rangers have already won. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays 7-1 to eliminate the Blue Jays from mathematical consideration for the playoffs. But if the Indians can win this game, they will stay half a game out of a playoff spot and knock the Kansas City Royals 3.5 games out. The Orioles are two out. The Yankees, 3.5 out, going into these final less than 2 weeks of the season. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We told you we had Mariano Rivera for you, but you know what? He didn't pitch tonight. So we'll hear from Mariano Rivera tomorrow so we can keep going with these phone calls. Randall is out in Moncton. Welcome to the program, Randall.
Bruce Bochy and Mike Socha are in that managers in last place club.
No, the Angels aren't. The Angels aren't close to last place.
No, but they're not near playoff. They're not what they were supposed
very
to be.
Very disappointing, correct.
Yeah, I think they've had a very disappointing season. So Yankees are 3.5 back, 3.5 out. You're 3.5 out in September. You have to. They're behind, what, four different teams. It doesn't look like their playoff chances are.
They have four teams that they would have to pass to make the playoffs. 3.5 games out with 12 games. Well, they only have 11 games to play, so that's a long way out.
Yeah, I would think. And the other teams all have to drop back considerably. I'm not quite following the whole Joe Girardi's better than John Gibbons argument here. The Yankees starting pitching has been so much better than the Blue Jays starting pitching that that's where your differences have been. So I don't think the conversation has to go a lot more than the first few innings of a lot of ball games this year.
What's hilarious is that, you know, again, if you take out the games in which the Yankees and Blue Jays have played each other, they're a half game apart in the standings. So the Yankees' clear dominance over the Blue Jays has more to do with them being in a playoff race than anything else this year. And over the 17 games these two teams have played, I can't think of one where Joe Girardi has outmanaged John Gibbons.
Yeah, it's just their pitching's been better, and
they've gotten big hits late in a lot of games.
Yeah. So I mean, that's where you're at. So I mean, I'm not. You know, you're the first year in a 3-year window. I'm not so impatient. If I've waited 20 years, I can wait 22. I still think the second and third year of this window are going to be pretty good. I'm not too rattled about that.
All right. I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you
for the call. I appreciate it. Let's move on to Blake in Toronto. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Mike. Pleasure for having me on.
Thank you.
While I was at the game tonight, I read a tweet from Jonah Carey that Manny Machado is one of the best defenders he's ever seen.
Yeah,
and
fantastic.
He happened to make a bad play tonight. I'm just wondering what your opinion on the best third baseman in the American League is, because every time I seem to go to a Blue Jays game this year, I see Brett Laurie making an amazing play at third, be it eighth inning today against Vernon Wells, or a few weeks back against the Royals when he made that jumping throw to first. So I was just wondering what your opinion was.
You know what? I see Brett Laurie every day, right? So I'm obviously rather biased. I've seen Manny Machado make some spectacular defensive plays. I have never seen anyone make as many spectacular defensive plays as regularly as Brett Laurie does. Scott Rolen was here. Scott Rolen is one of the best defensive third basemen ever. I'll take Brett Laurie. I really, he's in the infancy of his career, so I don't know that you certainly can't put him up with those all-time greats. Mm-hmm. But I've not seen anyone better.
But do you think Brett Laurie makes the routine play?
Absolutely.
As often as he should, or is it only the highlight reel plays where he stands there?
How many routine plays have we seen him botch?
I know, I haven't seen many. I was just wondering, in the comparison that these national baseball writers make amongst the various players, it always seems Longoria is at the top of that list, Machado, and then there's no one really else.
Well, there's Adrian Beltre, too. And Beltre's won the last couple of Gold Gloves, I think. They're spectacular. Spectacular third baseman in the American League, but again, no one. He makes plays. He makes shortstop plays. He makes plays at the shortstop position. He makes plays down the line. He does. He's got so much range. He's got such a great arm. As Jack Morris pointed out today, he gets to his feet so quickly after a dive, which helps him that much more. But again, people who watch the Orioles every day will speak glowing. Won't be able to imagine that there's anybody out there better than Machado, and Same thing with people who cover the Rays and watch Evan Longoria every day.
And just one last thing on that. Given that Cabrera in Detroit plays third base, considered the best baseball player in the league, in my opinion, he doesn't make that play in the eighth inning against Wells.
Well, of course he doesn't make that play.
So do you think that defensive lack of range should be considered when evaluating him as the most impactful player in the game versus a guy who might have better all-round defensive numbers, say, like Mike Trout?
Sure. Absolutely. That has to factor in, especially because Trout plays at a premium defensive position a lot of the time in center field. But if you're talking about the MVP debate, it's not about who's better. It's not about most valuable player. It's about most valuable teammates, because you apparently can only win the MVP if you're on a team that's either in a race or in a playoff spot. And the longer, you know, the older I get, the more I think that's ridiculous. It is a shame. I appreciate the call, Blake. Got a lot more people to get to till the top of the hour. Kenneth in Toronto, you're next. Hello, Kenneth.
Hello, how are you, Mike? Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Love your show. You do a great job, man. I really appreciate listening to your show.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Now, straight to the point, as far as the Blue Jays, in reference to the caller that you were talking about who was blaming, wanted to try John Gibbons, I agree 100% with what you said. You got to look at all the different aspects and facets of the team. And it's very obvious the starting pitching is the reason that the Blue Jays are in last place, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's zero question about that. Now, the defense is a contributor to that.
Right, right.
But the starting pitching, for the most part this season, has been, when it mattered, was awful.
Right. Absolutely. If I can switch gears really quick, I know you're short in time. I'm a St. Louis Cardinal fanatic since I was 4 years old.
Very nice.
And this year, if you look at their lineup, Mike, honestly, 1 through 8, you've got to admit that they're pretty solid.
They've had a very solid lineup for a lot of years. You know, almost an American League-style offense in St. Louis. And I'm a, you know, I'm a fan of the organization. I think they do things the right way. It's a lot of class and not a lot of chest thumping. And you know, you find a Matt Carpenter who's going to have 50-something doubles, and you add him to the Beltran and Molina and Holiday, and it's a very good team. It really is. I like the St. Louis Cardinals a lot.
One prediction, if I may. I think Boston's playing out of their mind. It's not too far-fetched for me to see a Cardinal-Boston World Series.
Well, you know what? The thing is, and I don't do predictions, but we'll mark it down. Why the heck not? The things that win you games over 162 games in a regular season have nothing to do with what wins you games in the playoffs. Depth doesn't matter.
You're absolutely right.
So, you know, hot streaks matter. Luck matters. Having two good relievers matters. And so it is once you get to that final eight, flip a coin.
The middle relief is really critical, too, if you think about it.
Middle relief doesn't matter in the playoffs.
No, it's just the closers and starters, eh?
Yeah, well, you can, you know, with all the off days, you don't need to use more than three relievers if you're getting decent starting pitching.
Mike, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call a great deal. Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 2-0, but they are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs with a Texas Rangers win. Alan is in Toronto. Hello, Alan.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm not unwell, thank you. Go ahead.
Good. All I want to say is last year I was in the U.S., and I went out and bought the MLB Network for the year so I could watch the Jays. By July, I was no longer watching the Jays.
Really, by July? Because they were only like 2.5 games out of the playoffs on July 30th. So you might have given up on them a little early. Given up on me early, too, because you're gone. Last year, the last 2 months of the season were a horror show. Nobody was healthy. It was terrible. They lost almost every game. This year, the horror show was early and then came again like from the end of June to the All-Star break and out of the break. But there's been some exciting games lately. Rob in Toronto, you're next.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Still good. Go ahead.
I hope you and your family had a great holiday.
Thank you.
That trade last summer, fact that we got Reyes, I'd make that trade no matter what, even if Dickey had got blown out all year and Burley was no good.
Well, Dickey wasn't like in the trade, but okay.
Well,
I know what you mean.
I just mean the whole summer because we
winter,
have
winter.
Player.
It's not hockey. The off season's in the winter in baseball.
Well, you understand what I'm saying. Okay, sorry, Mike. Okay. That trade is going to shape this team for the direction that they already had in 2012. That's just going to keep going. And I don't think chemistry, when we talk about chemistry, I don't think it's like the players have to love each other and everything. But chemistry is when players understand this guy's going to get the ball in the hole. This guy's going to make the throw. And that needs to happen with our team because we really lacked it this year. It was something I didn't see in our team at all.
I don't quite understand that, but you're right that the defense was not there for the most part this year. A lot of that was because Brett Laurie missed half the season at third base. Jose Reyes missed half the season at shortstop, and they didn't find a second baseman until 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I don't get the chemistry thing, but
confused.
The defense for
sure. Well, like the whole understanding of each other,
why does Colby Rasmus care whether Jose Reyes is going to get a ball in the hole? I mean, he cares obviously, but why does that have
any
effect
on? To know that Rasmus is going to make that consistent throw to the cutoff guy, and where to position himself, and where that throw is going to be there in the right spot, and that takes a little bit of time. And I think the Jays in 2012. That's where the optimism came from, is we had this team that really liked playing with each other and really just seemed to have what I would call chemistry. They weren't the best bunch of players, but they just seemed there was so much optimism. And I believe that's still there. And hopefully we can get a second baseman. Is there any chance at all that Robinson Cano goes somewhere else besides stays with the Yankees?
I think he's going to go to the Dodgers, personally.
So you just think he's just grabbing huge money no matter what?
Oh, there's no question that he's grabbing huge money. No, the Blue Jays aren't going to offer him a 10-year, $270 million deal or anything like that.
That's where it's going to go, eh? That high.
Who knows?
All right. Well, yeah, we should stay out of that. I guess that would be a little crazy. And when I think of third baseman, I always think of Longoria in Tampa Bay. I know Laurie's probably a better defender than him, but he just seems to make the plays whenever they need to be played. And, man, that guy can just flat-out play baseball. And again, Mike, I hope you had a great holiday. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for the call, Rob. I still don't get the chemistry thing. I know a lot of people are hung up on that. I don't understand. I really don't. One day someone will explain it to me properly. Rob came close with the whole, you know, lining up cutoffs and stuff. The outfielder's supposed to hit you no matter where you are, but that's the best anyone's come up with so far. Let's wrap it up with Rocky in Markham. Hello, Rocky.
Hey, how's it going? Great show as always.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'd like to make a suggestion. I think the Jays should go all in on Masahiro Tanaka because he's been having some astonishing numbers in Japan, and I heard at least maybe about probably 12 teams are scouting about Tanaka, and they should go all in, and no matter how much it costs. And if they are unable to sign him, I think they have to look into a pitcher like Chris Sale because the White Sox are not going anywhere in the near future, like for the next 3 or 4 years, right? So it may cost a player like Aaron Sanchez or Suna and Stroman, but they need to go after a frontline starter in order to contend for next year, in my opinion. So
I think given how people feel about having traded Noah Syndergaard and Travis d'Arnaud for R.A. Dickey, I don't think you're going to go too far with too many Blue Jays fans suggesting they trade Sanchez, Stroman, and Asuna for Chris Sale, although Chris Sale is certainly one heck of a talent. I'm not sure the White Sox believe they're as far away as you believe the White Sox are. As far as Tanaka is concerned, he is blowing people away. He's having a ridiculous season in Japan, 20-0 with an ERA of .124. But remember that it is Japan. Remember that there is a lot of mileage on that arm, and it's going to cost a ton of money just to talk to him and a ton of money to bring him over. I don't know. I really, you know, for the investment it's going to take, I'd be awful scared. Talk to you tomorrow.